بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه في الأولين وفي الآخرين وفي كل وقت وحين وفي ملة إلى أعلى إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اشرح صدرنا ويسر أمرنا واحلل عقدة من لساننا يفقه قولنا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the final episode of the MSA podcast for this year. I am your host Hashim Nahya and I'm joined by my co-host
عبد الرحمن تيجاني.
As well as we have two very special guests today. Alhamdulillah, we managed to rope them in even with their busy schedules. We have our leaving president, Omar Sadat. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Pleasure to be here.
As well as we have our new and upcoming, very handsome, new MSA president, Omar Khan.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khairan for inviting us.
Anytime. Inshallah khair. Today, we're going to be going through quite a bit of stuff as well, talking about experiences in the MSA. As well as experiences as a president, and inshallah, plans moving forward as the next upcoming president, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So, I'm gonna ask a very broad question. How are you guys feeling right now? What's going on? So, what do you
Nervous, excited. I don't know. I actually don't know what to expect. But khair, inshallah, we'll see how we go.
Inshallah.
Yeah, same here, minus the strange noises that came out at the beginning. intrigued, fascinated, excited, possibly on guard. So we'll see how we go, inshallah.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Listen, we're not going to ask many pressing questions. We're just going to go through some very, very brief stuff. It's okay. It's not going to be that. It's not going to be as bad as your MSAU. It's not going to be as stressful.
And since you guys already love those one word answers from this from the get-go, next question is three words to summarize the MSA this year. Start with you, Omar.
Which one?
Okay, maybe for the duration of the podcast, I'll be Zaydat and he can be
Omar. All right, easy.
Sure.
Okay, Zaydat, go.
Interesting. Internal.
Shambolic, probably.
Wow.
Okay, hold on. Now, listen, I would put out a disclaimer. I meant it as a joke when I said having a horrible year, because you had an amazing year, Allahumma barakallahu. But before we get to shambolic, explain the internal. What does internal mean?
Yeah, that's a good question. So my focus on the MSA this year was predominantly within MSA rather than without. So whereas we've had other years where the focus was to produce the biggest events possible or get the most attendees, I kind of turned an eye into more of the administrative processes with MSA, how things run, how teams are segmented, what we do internally, in the hopes that it would benefit the MSA in the long term. So that's kind of what I meant by internal.
Mm-hmm. So interesting internal. And I mean, objectively, why would you think it was shambolic?
Well, I guess I got to set a baseline by pointing out that every year at the MSA is shambolic. I don't think we've really managed to escape the curse just yet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your reign.
Ameen.
And so we'll talk about breaking generational curses. So this is kind of MSA's generational curse. I mean, generally, it's very little that goes according to plan and very much that doesn't. And I think it would be remiss not to acknowledge that, at least to some degree.
That's fair enough. So what about you, Omar?
Three words. Growth. It's been exciting. And I've been tired.
Tired. Okay. Okay. So actually that sort of, it's very similar to our next question. We'll run it now, just for you specifically, Omar. What kind of growth did you see specifically? You remind me again, what was your role?
Socials events leads.
MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. So what growth did you see?
As Zaydat mentioned, the theme of this year's in the MSA was quite apparent right from the start for us internally and inshallah for the people that weren't involved in the planning of the MSA, but they could also see that growth externally as well, we hope. We grew in terms of our processes, how we, organize things and that way. And so in that sense, I feel that the MSA has taken a major step forward in building a foundation for something in the future. As Zaydat mentioned, we do have, I've been in the MSA for a couple of years now, we do have this curse of being a little bit shambolic, lack of organization. And this year was definitely a huge step into fixing that issue. And so in that sense, I feel that the MSA has really grown in its ability to grow further in the future, like setting that foundation up for something that's much greater to come, inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah. Well, I'm going to cut in with one of my own questions now, which is, if you've used three words to describe last year, maybe TJ can also answer this question, is what three words would you describe next year to be like? Or like what three, if you were to sit here in a year's time, what three words would you like to have used to describe the MSA?
That's a good question.
Where's your focus? Where's the goal? What's the ambition?
Number one, organized. Two, active. I don't know why this just came to my mind. And the last one, I would say, I'm thinking of a word that would describe, the fact that we've worked on the grassroots and we've built a stronger brotherhood and sisterhood.
So community.
So yeah, maybe community would be a good last word.
I was going to say community. That's something definitely that I wanted to bring forward next year, inshallah, is that greater sense of community. Another word would be, oh God, why are you asking me for so many words today? Testing my vocabulary. Social. I think next year, inshallah, I want us to reach out to as many Muslims on campus and to be present on campus with a greater force. Values. I want us to be able to instill Islamic values and like uphold those Islamic values, not just within the MSA, but also to extend that out to non-Muslims as well, inshallah, next year.
Inshallah. Great goals. Inshallah, we achieve them, inshallah.
So so with those goals as well, and you mentioned, especially this year, there was a lot of work, which is essentially why you did mention that you were tired. And as well as, like, barakallahu fiqh, Zaydat, the amount of sleepless nights that you had for the sake of the MSA was plenty. Now, Zaydat, so you've talked already about the change that you were implementing this year. So objectively, what have you seen that the MSA has grown into? Or what has it changed this year that you think is for the better? Or is pretty much essentially what you would call tangible change?
Yeah. What goals and metrics did we meet?
Do you mean any KPIs?
I will tell you that if someone was setting KPIs, this whole thing would have been a little bit easier. Look, there were some changes that I can say were from me. And there were some changes, and the majority of them were changes where I can say it was due to the hard work and effort of the people that were serving the MSA, leads, extended children, et cetera, right? Goals and metrics that we matched. I'm very happy this year that we have as an internal database of all the events that we're doing, all of the processes, all things like that. That is a blessing, the likes of which you cannot understand unless you take a step into the MSA Google Drive, right? Hello. So if you're in the MSA Google Drive, it's the equivalent of going down to the jungle with a kukri knife or a machete, trying to hack vines, get from A to B. It is, and then you turn a corner, and then it's like the ghost of an MSA member that was like 10 years ago, just a random document, endless amounts of lore in there, also endless amounts of suffering for you if you dive in. Uh-huh. So yeah, big ups to the brothers and sisters you see that set up the Notion. Big ups on improvements to the communication platform. I'm very happy to have not needed 50 Telegram chats to kind of get everything done.
Yep.
I think everyone can say that. I think everyone knows.
The way you used to run it, never say through Telegram.
Yeah. Those are the dark ages. TJ, my friend.
Okay. Once upon a time.
Stepping into glorious times.
Essentially, we created the Renaissance for you guys. You're the reason why the Golden Age is good exists.
This must be what it's like to have been around for the internet boom. Like, 2022, 2023. And they're like, wow, granddad, how did you use like floppy disks?
As well as a reminder, before Telegram, we would use WhatsApp without the communities.
Yeah.
Communities wasn't around.
Wow.
Yeah,
the dark days.
Every society had its dark ages, and we definitely had ours, alhamdulillah. But those two, I would say, those were like executive decisions that I made, right? So I'm fairly happy to say that that's kind of a goal that I've achieved. Now, that aside, I think the biggest improvements I saw this year that I couldn't credit to anyone but first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then to all the people that were working, the increase in sisterhood was, well, I'm not going to say baffling because that implies that I didn't want it to increase. And we don't want to go there.
No, go on.
I was dazzled and impressed by the kind of spike that we got in sisterhood this year. The sisters managed to build a very strong community, and I was a big proponent for that. But I wasn't necessarily sure if we could achieve it. Alhamdulillah, no credit to myself. The sisters this year have worked above and beyond their pay. And I'm waggling my fingers because it's in all quotes. Besides that as well, I think something I also didn't expect is the general bustle around running the MSA. If you kind of jump back in time 2 or 3 years ago, the MSA was run by a very small group of dedicated individuals with emphasis on small, right? This year, when I started segmenting and running things and kind of adapting to protocol or whatever, I found that there's way, way, way more dedicated individuals, the likes of which had come before, than we had expected. I mean, the team this year is, 40-something people?
And that's only in socials.
Yeah. if you want to do some counting,
least
right?
From Dara.
So actually, the UNIS WMSA Shura and Extended Shura makes up 48 members.
Yes.
With the actual Shura being a total of...
13.
14.
Yeah, 14? So that 14. Would be... So for those listening who aren't completely familiar with all of the structures... Shura refers to executives and leads for the society,
yep.
Whereas extended Shura refers to subcom count. So, yeah, I mean, the MSA used to run prior with about 10 to 15 people all up, right? No, 16 max. I think we've never really hit more than 20. But to see the jump go from that to almost double was exceptional. And I don't think that there's anyone to be kind of awarded or rewarded for that kind of thing. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses where you least expect. So yeah, I think those are some ways.
I think that's just an indication of the general brotherhood and sisterhood that we're developing on campus. The fact that people want to actually help out in the MSA, and they want to be involved, and for that reason they're joining the extended shura. So alhamdulillah.
Agreed, 100%. What it means to be a Muslim on campus, I think, has been maybe not changing, but shifting slightly. More and more, I've been able to meet and see eye to eye with Muslims on campus who are not just interested in being a casual Muslim or a Muslim on the side, but more so a Muslim who is there to invoke change, to inspire, to step forward and to make a foothold for the Muslim community. Mm-hmm. And again, that's a development that I cannot credit anyone for besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, we're almost stepping into better and brighter times. And it will be interesting to see what the MSA does with the surplus of dedicated individuals moving forward.
Alhamdulillah. And I will say as well, part of the improvement that I saw as well was definitely our marketing and media, especially in terms of the amount of posts and the quality of the posts that were going out. That has been an improvement from previous years where there would be, you know, a post every, couple of months regarding an event.
Mm.
But alhamdulillah, I think one thing that we did well this year or just in general, was reaching out and having as much coverage as possible regarding our events, regarding everything that's happening in the MSA, as well as coverage with regards to what's happening around the world as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that's been a big step to sort of, I don't want to say humanize the organization, but also make it a little bit more relatable, because in terms of as an organization before, it was just the MSA and we focused solely on the MSA. But with the MSA being now involved with other MSAs, other aspects of university, now being involved as well in marketing and talking about other aspects that are happening around the world, now you've got a page in which other people can now relate to, which is, alhamdulillah, a big improvement, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be thanked for his blessings to us.
I want to get into you both as leaders. Let the listeners know into how do you guys feel the MSA should be run?
I can tell you already. Zidane was a dictator with no remorse.
100%.
I would get whipped.
All right, Zidane, called you a dictator. Now's a chance to either defend or emphasize on it. What kind of leader do you think you are?
That's a very open question. Do you mind like constraining me some way?
It might be for a while if you get inside.
All right, let's say, okay, if we talked about KPIs. Now imagine the MSA was an actual business, right? We want to achieve a certain set of goals. What is your approach as a leader towards achieving that in terms of how you deal with people, how you organize things? Shed some light on how you think an organization such as the MSA should be run.
Look, maybe I'll modify your question a little bit. And I'll talk a little bit about what an ideal leader looks like to me, right? Okay. I think maybe this was the kind of set of attributes that I would have been in pursuit of, but whether I stuck the landing or I fell short, Allahu or Rasulullah alam. I think an ideal leader obviously follows in the path of a Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's a very generic answer. To focus a little bit more on the MSA, MSA needs someone who is above all very wise, right? The MSA and dealing with Muslims on campus and managing expectations of Muslims, non-Muslims, other societies, inter-varsity stuff, other like inter-MSA related initiatives, generally requires a decent amount of like politicking and wisdom and a little bit of thought into what you do. Particularly at UNSW MSA, where we're not known maybe, but inundated with the volume of events, it's very important to be able to prioritize and justify and move from place to place and pick what's happening when and where and manage the expectations of the brothers and expectations of the sisters and expectations of everyone else around. So wisdom, I think, is maybe one of the most important. The other is presence. I think the MSA president, MSA shura in particular, need to be kind of active and available at all times, right? When we talk about the MSA as a community, it's no longer something that is hard and metricized. Now it's something soft and amorphous. You need to be present at events. You need to be present at things. People need to see your face, know you, who you are, and generally kind of treat you as a contact point. The MSA isn't an organization that you join because of a tangible gain or a profit or something to put on your LinkedIn. The MSA is something you attend so that you can build a sense of community, and therefore the MSA is essentially its members.
Mm.
And for that reason, I think a good leader for the MSA would be perpetually present, perpetually available, despite the workload. And maybe one more thing is that I think an ideal leader for the MSA should be ambitious, excessively ambitious. There's never been almost a fertile planting ground as the MSA, as Muslims on campus, right? You're essentially presented with all the ingredients you need, right? If you were to start an organization that's outside of a campus or something like that in the general community, you would need to jump over an initial step of bringing people in, right, and justifying your presence and all that stuff.
Yeah.
When you work on campus, the uni essentially provides you with everything, right? Arcs sort some stuff out for you. There's heaps of Muslims on campus. It's essentially all up to you. And so for that reason, the sky's the limit. And if you go into the role and you say, hey, I'm gonna be the kind of leader that just warms the seat for a year, and then whoever comes after me can like do something exciting, that I think is not sufficient whatsoever. You need to be someone who steps in and says, you know what, I've got all these resources at my disposal. Let's see how far I can stretch them. Let's see how long I can burn the candle at both ends. Let's see how to what length I can push my shura, to what length I can push my subcon, and to what length can I further develop the Muslim community on campus. So those three, I think, just to reiterate, wisdom, presence, and ambition, probably the three most important aspects for a leader, particularly in the MSA context.
Yeah. I think those are pretty good qualities to aim for. And Omar, do you share in those, or do you have maybe some differences or some other qualities that you think should be included?
No, I 100% agree. Wisdom is a very, very important one. I just wanted to add on to that from what Zaydat said. In terms of leadership, in terms of being able to, this position that we get in the MSA, it's not something that is a right upon us. Like, as in, we don't.
It's not a privilege.
It's not a privilege. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. It's not a privilege. It's an amana, right? It's a trust that has been given to us by the community, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to serve our community in a way. And so in that regard, a good leader understands this amana. And then once they understand this amana, once they understand the importance of the role that they've been given, it's that guidance of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everything that they do that should guide them. And it's that grounding that a good leader always has to have, that they are not above what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained, or they are not above what the Prophet ﷺ has ordained for you. And so what Zaydad said, the three things that he said, wisdom, you know, presence, and what's the third thing?
Ambition.
Ambition, yeah, definitely. Those three. But on top of that, I think those three things in the leader need to be grounded by this overarching understanding that whatever you're doing is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that your intentions are for that purpose, and that this role is in a manner, and it's not something that you should be using for other things.
Yeah. I will say I've seen, like, many times an organization that is Islamic being led by someone who, for, and this is something that happens, right, is that you take a seat, you put your hands on the steering wheel, it's all kind of locked in, your foot's on the accelerator, and you just start blasting, you start pumping it. And then as you kind of pursue some measurable metrics, as you start kind of like having a top-down view of events and a top-down view of what's happening, and you like get into the details, you're like, oh, marketing takes 2 days. I want marketing to be like a week long, and events, I've got 15 attendees, but I want 30 plus attendees, whatever. You get caught up in all of this stuff. And sometimes you forget that there are a set of values you need to abide by, right? Mm-hmm. It's very easy while you're flooring it across the highway at like 150 kilometers an hour for the MSA to forget that there are some things that need to be met, some criteria that need to be satisfied at all times. Otherwise, nothing else is of value and nothing else will go to plan, right? Like, to bring out the example that I've raised at the beginning, is I have seen many an organization, many a society, as soon as your lifeline to these values is cut, things just start inexplicably going wrong. Like, an event just evaporates and people don't attend and marketing disappears and people drop out and whatever. And you're like, oh, what's going on here? What can I do to physically solve the problem? But this is a point that I keep raising, is that you need to be connected to your values. You need to be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, connected to him, definitely, connected to his rulings, managing the organization by that which he has ordained. Otherwise, something might go wrong.
You're not wrong, because like I said, and you were mentioning it before, where every single one of the achievements that we made, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, wasn't through the hands of just us alone. It was also through the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at any given point, if you want the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be in any aspect of your life, you need to make sure that you abide by the laws and the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So understanding this, and with the plethora of experience that you had to go through as a president, and I believe with any role, you learn along the way. Mm. So with that being said, I won't even give you a number. The original question is, like, they're saying three soft skills, but realistically, what are some, so like, just skills in general that you had to pick up along the way, or that you learned as an individual because you were the MSA president, or that is tied to being the MSA president?
All right, well, I'll tell you first and foremost, the MSA was a prime reason for me waking up early in the morning.
Allahumma barik.
Everyone to give me a round of applause now, please.
Were you an 11 a.m. boy?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Sometimes worse.
Wait, 11 a.m.
Sometimes much too early? Worse.
Yeah.
You guys are hopeless, man.
That's past me, man.
Listen, you should be awake before 11 o'clock, but like starting your day before 11, that's a bit early.
Hashim's up.
Wow.
Post p.m. 12 p.m.
Lad, my study starts like 1.
Yeah, so part of my concern taking the role, or like kind of accepting running, et cetera, all of that at the beginning of the year, was I was like, oh, like I'm just all over the place. Like I sleep very late. I wake up late. My study is all over the place. My work is all over the place. Everything's kind of just everywhere at all times. So yeah, that's the first thing I had to fix up. I had to learn to manage my sleep schedule properly. I had to learn to manage my studies a bit properly, etc. I know a lot of the boys are kind of like, you know, you can't see them at the moment. They're all got their heads in their hands.
No, I'm just thinking about my own sleep schedule.
Hey, this guy, get here.
Sleep schedule.
Yes, sleep schedule. Yeah, so I guess it's kind of really basic, but definitely something I had to work on this year. And it generally falls with a bunch of other things under a nice big umbrella of like managing yourself before you manage others, right? You can't lead or organize or run things on at least an effective level if you can't even run your own life. So I had to manage that to some degree. Is it perfect? No. Do I still sometimes wake up at 11? Yes. but not much to worry about that. Let's see. I learned to be a bit more reliable. I think in the past, there may have been times where I'm tasked with things or have to do things, whatever. And this generally happens when you only need to worry about yourself, right? Is that if you need to get something done, you're generally doing it only for yourself. And so you fall into this kind of train of thought. You're like, okay, well, if I don't do my assignment, I'm the one that suffers. So there's no real kind of push for you to treat that well and treat that with respect and to be reliable about it. This year, what with kind of everything that I decide to procrastinate or ignore or abandon, whatever, having a tangible effect on the MSA in particular, meant that there was no more space to be open or pedantic or non-pedantic about this stuff. Everything needs to be managed and you need to be someone that is worth relying upon. That's another one.
Would you say
there's a look in your eyes? I don't like that look. I don't like that look whatsoever.
It's devious.
Would you say you've become a lot more patient?
Yeah,
surely.
That implies that you weren't patient before.
You can always become more patient.
Yes, exactly.
I said more patient.
Yeah, so I will say I don't think the.
He was a horrible man before this, but
that's crazy. Yeah, you like as with anything that involves other people, you somehow find that there's even more leeway to give people than you first expected, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can talk about this abstractly and say, oh yeah, you know, if this thing isn't done on time, then I'm gonna hang up whoever's responsible by their toes and I'm gonna, you know, all that stuff, right? But you can talk about that at length, but I think I found that. Surprisingly, I'm much more patient when things actually go wrong.
100%.
And a lot of people this year got a lot of leeway, which I'm very happy about. Alhamdulillah, the MSA exists to serve, but it also serves the people that run it as much as the people that are benefiting from its events.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Like, let's say, for example, someone wanted to run an event and that event just happened to be like a big event like paintball.
Hypothetically.
Mm. So if they were to run a paintball event and, you know, get involved with a lot of funds, like it's okay. Like in the end, there needs to be like some leeway to give. And I think you said you've learnt about that. Like you've learned to give more leeway.
Yeah. I mean, hypothetically, if an event like that was run and hypothetically, if it cost more than expected, and hypothetically, if there was someone responsible for that, you know, they deserve all the leeway in the world. Why are you guys laughing?
I don't know, but hypothetically.
It's hypothetically funny.
I can be funny in a hypothetical.
Hypothetically, though, what's like the red line hypothetically if the.
How much can you blow?
Yeah, exactly.
This is a great question.
How far beyond the line can you go?
Look, this is a great question, and we're going to discuss this one together, right? Generally, the line isn't always financial.
True.
Yes. So an event can just flop.
True. Yep, 100%.
Yep. How many flops before you put your foot down? That's the general question, right?
True.
I've had this discussion before. It's a really interesting one. It's just like if you, let's say I run something, I delegate it. I'm of the general opinion that if there's room for it to fail and it's not my fault that it's failing, then it should be allowed to fail, right? Obviously, this is kind of like, you need to be specific and like, you know, it's not a general all goes rule, but it's a general compass guideline, right? If I say, all right, guys, we're going to do a halaqa, and then I'll say, all right, brother, you're in charge of getting the food to the halaqa. And that's it. Now it's his responsibility, right? If every time that guy doesn't do his job, I magically apparate in to do everything on his behalf, he will never learn. right? Mm. So I'm of the general opinion that if there is room for failure, let things fail. If that's how it's going to be, if I task the brother with getting a pizza for a halaqah and he just doesn't do it, or he comes in an hour late, whatever, I don't go in and make sure the event runs perfectly on his behalf.
Yeah.
I let him fail, talk to him about it after, and he needs to learn to do better. If this was a society or an organization where I was going to be the perpetual leader all times, forever, right? And I could like appoint people in and out based on, you know, I just pay them salaries and like read their CVs, your whatever. This would be a whole different thing, right? But because I know that I'm going to step away and someone's going to have to step back in, someone needs to let them make mistakes before their mistakes start having serious consequences, right? So stuff like a hypothetical paintball event that runs over funds, things like things not rocking up on time for events, stuff like that.
Lack of communication.
All of that stuff, yeah, right? Yeah. We have a buffer. We work as much as we can at the beginning to make sure things like that don't happen. Mm. But if they do happen, and if it's a failure of personal responsibility, then it's not my job to clean up your mess. It's your job to clean up your mess, and it's your job to learn from its mess and the consequences.
I'm going to build on that with the next question. But before we get to the next question from Tijani, just do you want to weigh in on anything here, Amar?
There's a lot to weigh on in here.
I think you might completely agree with me there.
Don't agree with you, you say?
I don't think you might not completely.
I don't completely agree with you on everything you said. I think that sometimes as a leader, and this is something that I've done, is that when something is starting to fail,
yeah, you need to step up.
I step in. I feel that might be a bit of an issue though sometimes, because you're right, people do need to learn. But I feel it's at the end of the day, when I put in a situation like that, or when I feel a leader's put in a situation like that, it goes back to the intention. The intention is dual, right? If you delegate a task to someone to do something, you are one, trying to get the task done for the community. Mm. You're trying to get that actual event run for whatever purpose is the intention of that thing. Mm. Whether it's a fundraiser, you're trying to raise money, whether it's an event that's trying to build a brotherhood or sisterhood, you're trying to do that. That's your number one aim. And then I feel like the second aim is that training of the person.
That's why I said that it's a loose rule.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
If we're talking about an IW event, then that's a whole different scenario.
It's like hypothetically running an IW barbecue.
Yes, hypothetically.
Hypothetically, yeah.
That's what hypotheticals going around this conversation.
Amazing.
Very specific hypotheticals as well, Hashim.
I genuinely do think we're going beyond the scopes of this conversation. So can we back onto the...
I didn't even start.
So you don't necessarily agree with the fact that... you should have more leeway for people to grow.
No, I think you're...
That's a gross...
Now you're putting words in my mouth. I'm saying that there's...
Maybe I'm the horrible person.
I didn't say it. The thing is that, like, for certain... I think it also does say that. It depends on the caliber of the event. What is the event? What is the purpose of the event? If it's an event that, you know... And that's where the wisdom comes in. Where the wisdom where you understand that this event, I can allow it to fail. I can allow this person to make their mistakes in a controlled environment and it won't impact, you know, the core thing. So, for example, hypothetical paintball situation doesn't impact on the core reason it was run, right? If it doesn't do that, then it's fine to make a mistake. But if there is something that is going to cause an issue in regards to the core purpose of the event, then that's where leaders need to step up. Because at the end of the day, where does the buck stop? Like, as in, if you're going to follow the chain of what is it called, command, it always comes back to the leader. As in, the leader is ultimately responsible for any one of his constituents for their doing.
So you would say you're a lot more hands-on in terms of what is being run and what is going on. Because the thing is, we've had previous president and they've had amazing years as well, where they were a little bit more behind the scenes, where they were running more background, and they had amazing years. So what's to say is different about their year and your vision or your approach to this?
I have a theory with leaders in general, and that theory is that a leader should be able to do every single one of the activities that they ask their the people below them.
Okay.
So if I'm president, And I have Events Lead underneath me. I have like marketing, MNC, I have Dawah, I have, you know, outreach, I have treasury. I should technically have the capability and the skills to be able to do every one of those, right? But whether or not I do them is a different story. As a leader, I should have understanding, intuition, and knowledge of how to do those roles for a couple of different purposes, to step in when need to give advice and direction to those people in those roles, and to train them up if necessary. That's generally how I believe a leader should be. So leaders should be very well-rounded. Now, going back to your premise of whether or not, like, as in presidents are a little bit step back, maybe they were able to, you know, step back and be able to oversee things. And then they could see that things were running fine. And that is also another aspect of leadership, to be able to step back, big vision, you know, big picture thinking, be able to understand the direction that the organization is mm-hmm. heading in, make plans for future rather than day-to-day things, right? But then to have that ability to step in is something that a leader does need to have as well, in my opinion. I don't think you can ask someone to do something if you're not willing to do it yourself. That is my core kind of principle with leadership. I can't ask someone to do something if necessity, wouldn't do myself.
Yeah, seconded there, and quite wholeheartedly. That's the way I ran this year. And I think that the nature of the MSA was very dictated by that. Mm-hmm. So lots of things regarded relating expectation, attendance, visibility, etc. They were all dictated by that. If I knew that I wasn't going to be available to attend an event, then I couldn't make it mandatory for everyone beneath me to attend it, because I knew that I wasn't going to be able to match that criteria. It's a blessing and a curse, right? Because if for some reason or for some idea or whatever, you're kind of constrained, then all of a sudden the entire organization is constrained by you. At the same time, I couldn't kind of put myself in a situation where the question I get asked on the day of judgment is, how come you begged such from everyone and you weren't there to do it yourself? And like, I hate to say it, but like, my akhira trumps.
What do you mean you hate to say it? It's very valid.
Of course.
Okay, Omar from, actually, we'll ask this one first. Zaydat, we've heard a lot about, you know, your reflections on the year. A lot of good things, a lot of hints at some maybe things that could have been done better.
I think he's going to have a panic attack.
You guys can't see him, but he's shaking on his chair right now. But can you give us maybe examples of your experience as a leader, some of the things that are a bit more like frustrating, or what are the most difficult things about being president for the MSA?
I'll ask the question he's not asking. What's the worst, worst aspect that you had to go through as an MSA president?
Try to be nice.
Do you want something really bad that I've gone through, or do you want like pain points?
Let's go through both.
Do we have another podcast episode left over?
Let's limit it to two things.
Okay, two things that are tough about presidency.
Can you add in solutions as well?
Put a hand on two. look, so God, this is gonna sound awful.
It's good. You're allowed to name names.
Safe space.
It's just flowing in his mind right now.
He's trying to be political.
There's no way I can say this. That's not gonna sound right. So I'm just gonna say it.
All right, easy, man. That's what we wanted, anyways.
Democracy, right?
You hate democracy.
No. Okay, so obviously, right? You rule the same way, or you lead the same way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam led. That's with the shura, right? So you need to get opinions from everyone. That was a big pain point, because unfortunately, if you like. I obviously want to make sure that I get everyone's opinions, everyone's sense, because this isn't my MSA. This is everyone's MSA, right? So when I say I say, hey, guys, we're going to do this event. Are you guys keen on it? And then, you know, I need to wait like a while to hear back from everyone, right? Mm. And then there's one person you don't hear back from, right? And then you say, all right, guys, like a majority wants to run this event. Let's go ahead and do it. And then 5 days later, the brother that didn't hear about the event just crops up. You know, he appears and he says, hey, actually, I don't like this event. I don't want to run it. I'm like,
crack the knuckles.
You know, like, yes, brother, you're right. Why don't you want to run it? What could you run better?
Smiling whatever. Through the pain he is right now.
Generally, right?
Screwing his tape.
It's a blessing and a curse. It's a big pain point being like needing or being constrained to the decisions or the kind of opinions that even beyond Shura, extended Shura as well, almost like 46, 47 people need to be voicing their opinions. And that takes a long time, right? So there's a lot of times where I think that it's like, I just want to do the thing. Like, I just want to make the decision. I just want to start the event. I just want to do everything. I don't want to wait for someone to tell me, yeah, they agree with it. But you can't do that. You need to make sure that everyone that's beneath you is willing to do the thing. Doesn't matter if you want to do it. It's whether they want to do it. So yeah, that's a big pain point.
What's the solution?
The solution is
there isn't one.
Oh, that's a great question.
I need it for next year.
I want to weigh in here because from experience being them say for this long.
How old are you?
You're older than me. We're the same age. What are you on?
All of you guys are old heads anyway, so it's fine.
Listen, I believe in the idea of Shura. However, I also do believe that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in certain matters would not consult the, in all of the Sahaba.
Oh, come on, brother. That's a different question. It's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had matters and scales, the kinds of which if he didn't act in the instant, Islam was going to be destroyed.
No, 100%. No, 100%.
Yeah, of course. And he had wahi. That's,
but, of course. But what I'm saying is, wish. And I said this previously as well at our meetings, where it's some aspects, some decisions don't require everyone's shura, especially when you have over 30 extended shura members.
100%. It's valid. I might have exaggerated the amount of shura that I needed to pick out, but at the same time, those decisions that you can make without anyone's shura are very slim, right? Mm. Particularly considering that, at least for me, it's very important to make sure that the people that are working on an event want to work on it. And if you didn't come up with the event or you didn't chip into generating the idea for it, then you're never going to be as attached to it as when you can see it's manifesting something that you wanted. So the more shura you can ask for, the better. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam operated on all ends of the spectrum. There were times when he made decisions that he didn't consult with shura for, and there were one or two instances where he went back on his own decision because the shura didn't want to do something. Right? And that's true. Very, very crucial. Another pain point of the MSA, the MSA is just, it's just a beautiful place to be. Like, I don't know, it's very hard to find more pain points.
That's not true.
maybe we'll talk about that.
They're pointing at myself. For a reason, what was I the problem?
Alhamdulillah, I enjoyed your support in NCDC.
Alhamdulillah. Wonderful outreach.
More pain points, more pain Thank points.
We've only had myself.
Oh, at MSA, at UNSW MSA.
Biryani's number one.
Yeah, just realized. at UNSW, I think a pain point for us as well is the trimester system. So because we're running on a trimester, you have less time to do more things, right? Because it's three blocks. So you treat them all as separate blocks, with each of them having separate things and things need to get done or whatever, but they're also shorter blocks.
Mm.
So if you had a semester, you'd say, all right, this semester A, this semester B, and here's the things we're going to do doing them, right? Because you have trimesters, all of a sudden you're like, okay, we're going to fit this in and fit that in, and then I'm going to, you know, whatever, and
weeks 8 to 10 people. Yeah, and exam, and then flexi week, and then exam.
Definitely underestimated how dense our work is at UNSW MSA. Like, there's just so much going on all the time, and it wouldn't be like that if it was a semester system. So I think that's the other pain point.
That's one hard to fix.
Third, inshallah. Listen,
2027, we'll go back to semester.
So,
trust.
Long time.
Prediction.
We don't want to be, we want to continue down this depressing path of what the MSA has caused us pain. Let's talk about what the MSA could be. So, I think we want to get it to your head, Omar.
There's nothing there.
Oh, nice.
It's completely front.
Just wanted to understand, like, what are some hints of what the MSA is going to look like with you as its leader, or like what we've talked about it a little bit already in terms of what you would like to see from the MSA.
Hmm.
But have you thought about the direction you would like to lead the MSA, inshallah, moving from next year?
Yeah. Ever since I was asked about this position, I've thought about it quite a bit. Because it is not a light position to be to take on this role. As I said before, it's a huge amana, and so I thought about this a lot before I took it. The general direction that the MSA I want to take it in, inshallah, is to be something, a more of a community and network of brothers and sisters that can rely upon each other. And that's not only in the sense of, you know, for social events, to, you know, make friends and stuff, which is one thing that the MSA has always been amazing at, but also branching out from that. So we are all at university, you know, getting our studies, learning, you know, going through our degrees and stuff. And so the purpose of the MSA, we can in the future, is start to link and network with other people in our fields. And that is because we want to build a basis of a strong Muslim community outside of university as well, after university. So we've got a lot of people that are doing degrees, you know, in the MSA, make their bonds in the MSA, then leave. And then what happens afterwards? Not a lot in terms of community and networking. And so one aspect that I really want to work on is that aspect of community beyond the MSA as well. So building that in the MSA such that it thrives afterwards. So that's one thing. Other thing is I want to make it a bit more beneficial for people to join the MSA. So some incentives to actually become part of the MSA, to come to events, something that tangible that people can get out of events. At times people will ask, why should I come to this event? And so to answer that question is one of the key things that I want to do next year, inshallah.
Sure.
And to find out, you have to join the MSA next year. So Hashim, we'll see you back next year.
100%.
I am going to fall off the face of this earth. I don't want to see anyone from the MSA. I want to see you. I want to see
ignore what he's just said.
In case you haven't noticed, Hashim is very spiteful today because this is his last contribution to the MSA ever.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Allah has blessed me with the blessed day. It's my last contribution.
The way he talks about it, he thinks he's retiring from the field he's been in for 60 years.
I will say before we move on, I will say it is an absolute pleasure and an honor. And it is an opportunity of a lifetime to serve your community. And the a motto that I've always lived by is that, you know, a leader or someone that wants to lead has to be at the front lines.
Mm.
It has to be forward, has to be the first person there, has to be doing what he's preaching. And subhanAllah, the MSA has been a platform for me to do that. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So after 3-4 years of being an MSA, quite a long time. I am very much an old, certified old head now, unfortunately. But
how many years in MSA?
Four years.
Next year's going to be my 7th.
Yikes! Yikes! No, it's as much as spiteful as I am, as much as I joke around about leaving MSA, I will still be around. I was not much more on the shura with volunteering because it is going to be a harder part of my degree. But alhamdulillah, it's improved my life exponentially, and I would not be the man that I am without the bonds that I've created. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Right. I'm gonna hop in actually and second that. So. If you had approached me at any point during the year and said, oh, how you doing or whatever, there's always a joke that I would crack and I'll say, oh, you know, I'm tired, I'm upset, I'm burnt out, I'm balding, blah, 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 blah. Generally, we have a bit of a culture about, like, exaggerating the stress that working in MSA or being in MSA can cause.
Yeah.
And so, like, let's not get it twisted. If I did have the chance to do it all again, I would. And I think all the brothers and the sisters would say the same. Allahu alam, if I ever will get the chance to be of benefit or to serve as in this on the scale that I got to serve this year. So you make the most of it while you can. But yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. It's not this like torturous experience that some of you boys, hey, you guys aren't even the worst of it. We should bring Bilal on here. Yeah. He doesn't take it back, he just commits.
Shout out to Bilal.
For those that don't know, Bilal is our treasurer, and being the treasurer, he was. And then we have to make clear because otherwise you would get pissed off. he was the treasurer, and every single decision that would go through had to go through. He was a part of it, or because especially with the finances. So he's seen the best and he's seen the worst. May Allah.
Yeah, all the hypothetical events that lost money,
he's seen them all. Now, we've talked about your worst time at the MSA, and of course, and we've always exaggerated the bad aspects of MSA. When realistically, you look back at it, and wallahi, I genuinely have never felt a better university life than when I was involved at the MSA. So with that being said, Omar, Zidat and Omar, what would be your favorite story, your favorite moment from the MSA? One thing that if you were, inshallah, bidhillah ta'ala, 10 years from now, and you had kids, and you were talking to your kids, and you were telling them about this one spectacular time, what would it be? Take a time to think about it.
Whew.
Because
there's so many.
Yeah, because the thing is, like I said, like we go through a lot of like pains and a lot of like situations during the MSA. But realistically, look back on it, and there's so much good that outweighs the bad.
No, definitely.
And the bad isn't even that bad. Like we just exaggerate it for no reason. Because
there's a cynicism that we need to kind of break. I can answer this question. Like Omar said, there's a lot that can come to mind. I think for me, a very memorable and defining moment for me this year was reading through short applications for next year. So obviously we opened the application process for anyone to like kind of apply, and then we run our votes and whatnot, but we also run applications for lead positions, and those applications aren't open for everyone to read. So I was just kind of, it was like a late night, I was like 11 or 12 or something, and I was just going through the applications to see the potential candidates for lead positions next year. And a lot of the times when you read those, you get a lot of repeats. So you get people that were subcom applying for leads and so on. So I scrolled past a bunch of those, and then there was a name from someone I'd never seen before, right? It was some sister, I don't know what year, I don't know her name, whatever. And I just read through her application at length, and she kind of like dropped a couple of paragraphs for every answer. And you know, she said something along the lines of, the question was, why do you want to join Yugoslavia MSA? And the answer she gave was, I've been blessed to be impacted by the MSA this year. They've built a good community for me, and I want to contribute to that moving forward. And yeah, I think that was a very, very special moment for me, because I'm the kind of person that can kind of lose sight of how things are tracking or progressing. And if you kind of ask me like, hey, how are you doing? It's always, oh, we could be doing better. But the feeling that struck me when I read through that paragraph, and it was earnest and it was heartfelt, I was like, subhanAllah, we can go about it at length talking about what we can be doing better. But without a doubt, someone somewhere benefited this year because of everything we've done. And yeah, that moved me quite a bit. That was very, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses in ways that you don't expect, and he blesses those unworthy. So yeah, that was very, very, very impactful for me.
I think one of the things from that is that the story, and anyone that joins the MSA or participates in the MSA, it's always about, we often get bogged down in numbers and looking at statistics and how many people attended this event and what was the money that we made on this fundraiser and this and that. And it's understanding that even if we benefit one person at university, one person comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One person like feels closer to their religion. One person feels that they can practice their Islam openly because they know that there's an MSA. One person finds the musalla and is able to pray in the musalla because of that. One person approaches the MSA to help get help with an exam that's happening during Jum'ah time, and then we help them with that process. One person, that being able to help even one Muslim on campus, or being able to help one person see the light of Islam through the da'wah souls and through the work of our da'wah team, even if it's one person in the whole year that the MSA is able to help, then we have done our duty. Yeah. Then we have achieved something. Yeah. And that's, as Zaydat said, sometimes you just get bogged down in like, you know, the bigger picture, looking at statistics, looking at numbers, and not thinking about the people. It's a very similar thing, that's actually, right. Like, as in, you know, like the favorite part. I just remember because we got these last week. I did not know you were collecting messages from my extended shura like that. So for those of you listening,
Didn't expect it, did you?
I did not expect it. I actually read all of them and I reread them and I was like, wow.
It's a full scale operation that was being conducted.
Well, like, I can imagine for the socials, extended shura is so big, Allahumma barik. But for those of you listening, our president and vice president reached out to all the extended shura members and asked them to write a message for the leads. And they compiled it in a little book. So for me, it became a little, like a couple of volumes, the number of people in the social extended shura.
Yeah,
but reading,
put a staple the booklet together because
yeah, I know it was a staple. Yeah, it was,
yes, too many subcom members.
Alhamdulillah. But reading that and like realizing like these people I've worked with the whole year, guided them, helped them, you know, organized things with them, and I didn't realize like as in the impact that the MSA and our, you know, our little socials subcom has had on them. And so it goes back to that idea that even if you help with one person, you know, get closer to Islam or help one person change something in their life, then that is why we're here. That's why we're at the MSA.
Yeah. I mean, this year we had a, like it was actually quite recent, maybe in the last couple of weeks, at a Dawah store, I think it was week seven, someone accepted Islam.
It was IAW.
IAW.
It was IAW, seven, yeah.
And like, I remember like he, the boys told me that and I just kind of like had a, you know, that kind of moment that stretches lifetimes. So I just thought about it for a minute. I said, this year, I've spent so much time this year kind of like pulling my hair out over how much money to allocate to Dawah and when to do Dawah where and the logistics of a Dawah store and who's running what Dawah and blah, 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 all these finer details. And then when I kind of got told that news, I just like stopped and pace. I said, you know what, this is...
It's all worth it.
I would have spent $1 million of MSA funds to have even been 1% of that. And yeah, it just struck me. There's so many moments like that this year. Like when we did do the closing meeting and I received some of the words from the brothers and some of the words from the sisters as well. Like it was all just very arresting to realize that you're focused in one direction and you think that's all you're thinking about, but it's sometimes what you least expect that's impacting others. It's sometimes not the goal that you've achieved, but rather the way that you applied yourself to it that inspires others, that motivates others, that pushes others forward. And yeah, completely unexpected for me.
100%. I do want to add, so while you guys were talking and you reminded me, because I couldn't think of the motto before, but the what I was talking about before was Sayyid al-Qawmi Khadimah. The leader, yeah. Leader of the Qawm or the community is the person that serves them. SubhanAllah, when you guys were talking about that impact, I remembered...
Isn't that on like an MSA Volunteers t-shirt somewhere?
Yeah, it's on an MSA Volunteers t-shirt, that's right.
I got a gym in that
shirt. Yeah, that shirt still is like, it's still sets the order to this day. But you guys were talking about your moments. I think as well, leaving the MSA, if I was to ever talk about one moment that I had loved and I wish I could ever recreate, was my first ever event as a social lead, which was last year. But the reason being was because I was, like Arma said, I was focusing so much on trying to make sure that we stayed in the green, we weren't in the red, trying to make sure that all the food was available. And by the way, I want to set you the scene, a lot more people rocked up than I had expected, and we didn't have enough food. So we had to continuously send people out to grab more food, and one of the systems wasn't working, one of the whiteboards wasn't working, so we're trying to get this games night going. And it worked, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, to the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it worked out amazingly. And the byproduct of that was, while hosting the event, I was watching brothers like Tijani and a bunch of others going absolutely crazy and like just involved with one another and being like the definition of brothers.
Yeah.
Because they were enjoying that moment together. And subhanAllah, while I was focusing on a lot more
on the stressful aspects of running the event,
and the numbers and all of that,
you miss all of that,
and then it's just seeing it there was an out of body experience. It's like, you know what, as horribly as I thought it would go, it's going a lot better than I expected.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, as with all leadership, Muhammadallah, I just say that those he who asks for it will find it difficult, and he who does not ask for it and is tasked with it and does it to the best of his ability, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support him in it. Yeah. So yeah, it's that kind of thing, you know, like you just so caught up, so busy with everything that you miss what's right in front of you?
Small things.
I was going to end our discussion with the question, you know, why is the MSA worth my time? Like, for example, say a Muslim student on campus, you know, they're on the fence, or maybe they just didn't see the value in the MSA for themselves. And alhamdulillah, you guys have already been answering that question. I think you've been selling the MSA with the last few minutes.
Yeah.
But I wanted to add my own personal thoughts. And if you guys have any more, you can add. And it's actually came from user that early in the year about why it's good to actually, the benefit of putting effort and contributing to the MSA. Mm. In addition to
the conversation that we had ourselves, me and you.
Yes. You remember?
I was inspired.
And in addition to, you know, all the normal stuff, such as like you're serving the Muslim community, it's really an obligation for us to have a community for Muslims on campus and also increasing brotherhood and sisterhood. But one thing that he said was that, you know, the MSA is a unique opportunity for any Muslim who really wants to develop themselves and see themselves reach their potential. It's a really good opportunity for you to test things out, run it, and see the outcome. Mm-hmm. And he gave a contrast to other organizations. Like, for example, if you were to volunteer for any other Muslim organization, which is amazing, but because those organizations are established, they have hierarchies, they have different levels, you're usually going to start out at the bottom, meaning you're going to be helping out with the basic events and so on, but you're not really going to have much opportunity in deciding the direction in which the organization is going or testing out ideas. But the MSA is a unique opportunity for that, because you can essentially, by coming to the events, by engaging with the brothers, and then joining the extended shura and then shura, you now can be in positions where you can decide, oh, how should we move forward? How can we best achieve X, Y goal? And so I think that was a really good reason for me. It shed a new light. It was like, oh yeah, that's true. You can do that with MSA. It's a unique opportunity that I think every Muslim who really wants to be the best version of themselves should not waste. So yeah, what do you guys think? Do you have any other thoughts? It
gives Muslim individuals ownership of their development and leadership and how they want to see the general Muslim ummah progress. So you hear a lot of people just talking about the general Muslim ummah and how it's going, and what the MSA does and how it's not going.
It's just awful. When you really think about it, those conversations are so awfully pessimistic all the time.
I know.
I hear more about how the ummah is finished than I hear about anything positive ever.
That's what the MSA changes. You get that opportunity to actually, you know, you have ideas. Everyone has ideas. You know, we have ideas of how we want things to run. We have ideas about da'wah. We have ideas about how we can uplift each other together. What the MSA does, it gives you that platform. It gives you that training. It gives you that opportunity. And what more can we ask for?
It is, as well as, like, a lot of people sit there and complain. A lot of people, where you complain about a lot of things that are happening around us in the community and what things that could change and all that. The point of the MSA, as they mentioned, is to build you as an individual so that you can go out there and develop your own communities, because the MSA isn't the be all end all. In fact, the MSA, realistically, and you realize this after a couple of years of being in MSA, the MSA is a smaller culture of what your actual community is.
The stepping stone.
It's
simulation.
It's essentially exactly. It's an exact microcosm of what your actual wider community is. The same people that are going to give you headaches, the same people that are going to have differing opinions, the same people that are going to be inputting at the last minute, the same people that are late or doing things wrong or have different opinions to you. The same people who are going to get in your way of development, you're going to find them at the MSA the same way you'll find them at your larger communities. The point of developing yourself at an MSA is that you're developing yourself at a point where there is room to grow. There's less of a consequence if there was to fail, like we talked about before, where there's a controlled environment where failure is actually something that's going to improve you. And then you take those skills and you start now applying it, and you're going to face the same problems. You're going to face the same issues, but you're going to be better at it. And the point is, every single generation needs to be better than the last. The reason why we are the way we are at the moment in our wider communities has been a degradation of generations one after the other in terms of input and skills that go into back into the community. Whereas now we've seen a big push, especially with what's going on around the world, big push of activism, big push of people that want to get involved, big push of trying to improve that community. But then a lot of those people don't have the skills. They don't have the development. The MSA is there to develop you. The MSA is there. It's a training ground for you to go back into the community and provide it with exactly the solutions that you would sit down around at 1 a.m. and just talk about and just be completely pessimistic about.
So great. To kind of just double down and expand the point a little bit. The MSA will do good for others with or without you.
Yeah.
And even while you're in the seat, it will do so whether you like it or not. The MSA presents an opportunity to step in and to essentially maximize your rewards, maximize your book of deeds. There's heaps of sides to the conversation. We can talk about community development and training and so on. But I think something that must be brought to light is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. You are the best nation that was ever brought to mankind. You enjoin good, forbid evil, and you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the MSA is grounded in those values, and it gives you a platform to meet those values, right? As a Muslim on campus, you must ask yourself if you're fulfilling these requirements to be of the best people that God has ever created, of the best community that God had ever brought. Are you enjoining good? Are you forbidding evil? And is your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the strength that's required? And if you are fulfilling these criteria, then there is no reason why you wouldn't pull your effort in and push forward the Muslim community on campus. Like Omar pointed out as well, the point regarding developing or taking control of what the Muslim community looks like is a big one. Very easily do we fall into worrying about only our ibadah and our complaints and our worries. And then everything that's happening outside the scope of our like tiny little bubble is this uncontrollable action that's happening somewhere else, somewhere like by someone else, which don't have any way to chip in on it or participate in it. When this year, to be honest, the theme across all the MSAs has been global change, has been real progress forward regarding some issues that if you had asked a year prior, these things wouldn't have been achievable. If you had asked anyone a year prior, would an MSA in Sydney be part of a big divestment process for a university, no one would have ever agreed with you. No one would have ever seen that that's possible. But because you apply yourself, because you push yourself, because you say, this is how things should be, and I'm going to make it so, then these things come to life. These things get achieved. That's a big part of the conversation as well.
100%. One thing I do want to add as well is that everyone has their lives. Everyone leads a different life. You have to understand there's a role for everyone. You don't have to lead. Leadership is not for everyone, and that is the hard truth. But at the same time, your contribution can be better than others because of utilizing the skills that you're good at. Now, as well as with different lives that we lead, and I think this has become apparent to me this year, is that your time is full up with a bunch of other things because in the end, life goes on. And you need to allocate time for yourself and allocate time for your degree and allocate time for your work. So in aspects, a lot of times in which you can't be a part of the short, you can't be a part of the decision making, you can't be a part of that, you know, that the organization is going to enjoin good, forbid evil. But you can be a part of is the MSA in itself, the core of the MSA, the brotherhood of the MSA, to network with, instead of wasting your time and networking with people who aren't going to look out for you from an Islamic perspective, you're now networking your time and you're putting in your time and effort into people who are there for you, not there for you as just an individual, but they're there for you as a friend, as a brother, as a Muslim. Because I will say, 4 years in university, my best of relationships have been from the MSA, and they're my everlasting ones. They're the same people that
it's the values. You share values.
Exactly.
And not only do you share sense values, of community. Even in MSA, generally, the caliber of brothers and sisters that you will meet is above what you'd expect. Because these aren't people that are just interested in being a Muslim and complying and progressing and moving forward with their lives. These are brothers, the likes of which are around the table with me now, who have visions, who have goals, who have ambitions. And being around that kind of person has a measurable effect on you has a measurable effect on the way you conduct yourself, has a measurable effect on the way you view the future of the Muslim Ummah, the way you view your future. These are all things that cannot be understated. And they will have a marked impact on who you are, what you do, and how you do it.
It's because we're grounded by something that's so different to like other relationships you have in this world. We're grounded by something that's like in the Akhirah. It's going to affect us in the Akhirah as well.
There's no budging that divine purpose.
100%. In the end, and this is more of a message to our listeners, even the same brothers that are leaving the Shura this year, they're going to be around the next year. They're going to be a part of university still the next year. Unfortunately, we still have more years to our degree.
Fortunately for us, alhamdulillah.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your degree easy for you.
Ameen.
Shorten it for you.
Ameen.
As you didn't expect.
Ameen. But there is also a better group of brothers who are going to be running the MSA, and I wholeheartedly believe this. Bismillah
ta'ala. I'm not sure.
And
we'll try our best.
I'm going to presidentially commend you to just not complain. I do believe that that's the case.
100%. Like the caliber of the Shura and the caliber of the MSA next year is miles ahead of what we had this year. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, if the progress that we made this year will be infinitesimally better next year, bismillah ta'ala. What I will say as well is that for our listeners, just reach out, just be a part of it. Even if it means shooting any one of us a message, shooting a message to anyone that is a part of the MSA, do it. Trust me, it is going to be the best decision of your life. It's going to improve you as a human being. It's going to improve you as a Muslim. It's going to improve you as someone who is truly God-fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that, we have taken up quite a bit of time. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah, it has been very, very beneficial. And it was amazing. And Jazakumullah Alf Khair. And Barakallah Fikum for your thoughts and for your the words spoken here today. And inshallah, everyone has learned something, has understood something better about this year. And they will look forward to next year with Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar Khan. Inshallah ta'ala, Jazakumullah al khair.
Jazakumullah khair. Thank you very much for bringing us on. And from my end, just so it's immortalized, inshallah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless and reward the efforts of everyone who was with me every step of the way this year.
Ameen.
Alhamdulillah, it was a year the likes of which I can't describe. And all the khair that we had achieved this year was all thanks to you, and you know who you are. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your efforts and reward you, and may you find all of your work this year immortalized in your book of deeds. And if you're a listener and you haven't participated in this kind of thing, or you don't know what the MSA is all about, forget the MSA for a minute. General advice: in your years at university, find some khair, find some good, and commit to it, inshallah. And that'll be my parting words.
Jazakallah khairan for having us on today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, reward immensely those people that have helped me in my journey in the Shura. As in, I can pinpoint every single person that's had an impact on my journey through the Shura and how I've developed as an individual. And I know that every single person that comes through the MSA also has those people in their story. Mm-hmm. And I would just echo the words of Zaydat in that, and Hashim as well, you, when you were saying, just reach out, because the first person you reach out to will give you something. They will send you to the next person. And the next person will give you something else. And you're going to develop immensely as a person. I look at myself at the start of this year and the amount that I've grown this year. I look at myself at the start of last year and the amount I've grown from there is like unrecognizable. So the MSA, as you said, provides that growth. And so just reach out to find your people, the people that will help you along your journey, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our intentions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to serve Him in a way that is befitting. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make next year even better than this year.
Ameen. With that is the end of our episode. Jazakallah khair. Subhanallah wa hamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa al-'asr inna al-insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihati wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr. All the best of luck for next year, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.